If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn over to the book of Matthew with me, the book of Matthew and chapter number 27, Matthew chapter number 27. Brother Brian was making the announcements a while ago, and the reason that I didn't say anything about that announcement that was left off is because I wasn't sure if I sent it to Teresa like I was supposed to, and then if I did that, I wasn't sure that she put it in there like she is supposed to, so I just keep my mouth shut, amen. I figure we'll get it next weekend if we don't get it this weekend, amen. But I knew it couldn't have been Brother Brian's mistake because he never makes a mistake. If you don't believe me, you ask Sister Kim. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 27 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. And I have a message on my heart that I believe is needed in these days. In verse 26 of Matthew 27, the Bible said, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe, they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him." You know, when I read this, I just want to stop and say this. They're going to bow their knee again. Been mocking this time. They won't be mocking the next time. They bowed their knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And then when they were come unto a place called Golgotha. That's my text today, a place called Golgotha. That is to say, a place of the skull. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the precious Word of God. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, that you put this story out there. Lord, that everyone might hear. God, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's true. And Lord, I thank you for the account of Calvary. God, how it melts my heart this morning even to go back and read about what you went through, Lord, for me, for my children, for my grandchildren. Lord, for this generation, Lord, where there's so many that are mocking, Lord, you look down with eyes of compassion and a heart full of love. And God, you would that they would come to you. And I pray, Father, today that as I stand and preach the Word of God, God, that you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And Father, that the words today, Lord, would be words that would stir our hearts. And God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen and amen. On last Sunday evening, it was in my heart to look towards Easter, and I began preaching in what will be a little mini-series of messages And we talked about a place called Gethsemane last Sunday evening. A place called Gethsemane. Several of you told me either last Sunday or this week, during this week, that God used the message in your life. And I say to God be the glory for that. That's encouraging to know that God is still using His Word in our lives. Amen. We're not there yet. Paul said, I've not yet attained. I've not arrived. Amen. He's still working in our lives, and that's wonderful. And we talked about that place called Gethsemane, how it was a place of solitude, a place of supplication, a place of great sorrow and struggle, a place of surrender, and a place of strengthening. And today I want to look at another place now as we head in towards Easter. I want to look at a place called Golgotha, or the place the Bible calls Calvary. I had the privilege years ago to go to Israel and go to this place. They call it the place of the skull because when you look into that mountain, that's what it resembles. The place of Golgotha resembles a skull. And here in the Word of God, the Bible said they were come to this place, the place of the skull. It says it in Matthew 27, in Mark 15, 22, they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. Then in John 19, 17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew called Golgotha. I'd like to examine the work that took place here in the Word of God at Golgotha for just a little while today. And I trust that God will speak to our hearts. It was a work that took place here that my friend allows me a place to work in God's vineyard, allows me a place in heaven, allows me a place in the family of God, allows me a place in the church of the living God, and allows me to stand today and share the greatest news that this world will ever hear. And that is the news that our Lord loves us and His Son died for our sin according to the Scripture. I believe that there's a danger in the preacher's life and in your life of becoming too familiar with some of the truths that the Word of God gives us. We get too familiar. You say, preacher, how could we be too familiar? I tell you how. When it doesn't stir our heart anymore. When it doesn't motivate us anymore. When we don't fall in love with Him each and every day of our life and serve Him each and every day of our life. It might be getting a little bit complacent in our life. And God would help us today. I want us to look at three things in the message. I'm not sure how far we'll get today, but I want to give it to you as God has spoke to my heart. First of all, this place called Golgotha and the work that's being accomplished there. It's a work of fulfillment. A work of fulfillment. I wish you would remember as I read through some scriptures this morning, the word fulfilled. And think about the fulfillment that's taking place here at Golgotha. I'll say some things a little bit later on. Think about a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 22, the psalmist said, I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. When you compare Psalm 22 with Matthew 27 and verse 35, the Bible said, and they crucified him. And they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. In other words, thousands of years before this event took place, God in the book of Psalms told us exactly where it was going to happen. He told us exactly what was going to happen. And my friend, today the greatest thing I can say today is thank God there came a day in my life when I realized why it happened. It happened because He loved me. It happened because He wanted to work in my heart and in my life. It was a work of fulfillment. I hope you'll get that and think about that. Think about these verses just a moment. In Matthew 26:54, But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must thus be? In Matthew 26 and 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Then Matthew 27, 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're getting at. I'm wanting you to understand that Golgotha, Calvary, the crucifixion of Jesus, was not an afterthought in the mind of God. I'm telling you, this was being carried out according to the Scripture. And the Scripture was being fulfilled. You know, I thank God, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I thank God that there is some Scripture that's already been fulfilled. And there's some more. May I just say it to you like this? It will be fulfilled. Everything that He has said in this precious book will come to pass one day after a while. It was a work of fulfillment. In Isaiah 53, turn back there in your Bibles with me just a moment. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. This is a beautiful passage. I'd encourage you to read it this afternoon. It's describing in detail the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to give you something in this fulfillment. Look in verse number 12. The Bible said, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. When you come over to Mark chapter 15 and verse 28, the Bible said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. I don't know about you tonight or this morning, but I'm glad that God, way back yonder, saw what we needed in this generation. Amen. And knew that we needed Calvary. Knew that we needed a Golgotha in our lives and in the Word of God. In the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. I thank God this morning that this work that's taken place at Golgotha, at Calvary, is a work of fulfillment. God is doing nothing but fulfilling the promises that he had already laid down in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, you don't even get into the book of Genesis, and the sin has come. Adam and Eve have failed God. They have disobeyed God. They've been cast from the garden. But God made them a promise. He said, hey, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's head. And thank God at Calvary, there was a deadly blow that, my friend, was delivered to the devil that you and I might live. I don't know about you this morning. Think about the fulfillment. In Matthew 20:18, listen to what the Bible said here. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. And the Bible said, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now think about this. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus, Jesus had said something in Matthew and in John, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. It's important for you and I to have absolute confidence in the Word of God. And when I've studied this and said, hey, God said it would happen. God said how it would happen. And it happened just like God said it would. There at a place called Golgotha. In Psalm 34 and 20, the Bible said he keepeth all of his bones. Not a one of them is broken. How many remembers when those soldiers came and the Passover was coming and there were two thieves and Jesus hanging there, and they came to break the legs of them, because when they broke their legs, you understand, they could no longer push up. They could no longer get a breath. And so they would collapse and suffocate and die, and they would take them down from the cross. But when they came to break the legs of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said He had already given up the ghost. You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't understand why it's important." Because that precious old book said, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And they took a sword and they shoved it up under his ribs, and forthwith came blood and water. It encourages me to know, hallelujah, that mob wasn't in control that day, but my Father was running the show. Amen. It was happening just like He said it would. It's not like God come along one day in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve have messed up and God said, "Oops, what do we do now?" Oh no, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, long before you and I were ever in this world, He had you and I on His mind and made a way of redemption that we could be saved. What about this place called Golgotha? It's a place of fulfillment. In John 19, the Bible said, "For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken." That blesses me this morning. The Bible said in John 12, "My friend, now is my soul troubled." Jesus said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He said, "But for this cause came I to this hour." Oh, friend of mine, listen. Jesus knew when He was born. Others say it like this. He knew before He was born. He came to earth, my friend, to die that you and I might live. He knew the purpose. Amen. The Lamb was slain. I thought about this. I talked to Brother Anthony about it a while ago before Sunday school. They sang a song over at Oak Glen, and they've sung it here about Abraham. Brother Anthony gets down to the end of the song, and he says he's done everything that he said he would do. But then the line says, "But come back and get me," and he'll do that too. Hallelujah. He's done everything that he said he would do. And that he has not done, he will one day after a while. We can count on it this morning. We can count on it. When Adam and Eve sinned, God knew that there would need to be a Redeemer, a blood sacrifice. I wrote this down this morning so I could read it to you. I wrote it from my heart, and I didn't want to mess it up. The omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God of the universe had a plan devised and a man to die in order that we might be redeemed, in order that we might be justified, in order that we might be sanctified, in order that one day after a while, thank God, we might be glorified, that we might walk with Him and be like Him in our new home. I don't know about you this morning, but I can see in a place called Golgotha that it is a place of fulfillment. It was a work of fulfillment that was taking place there. Can't you imagine those soldiers that were down there gambling? Can't you imagine all they got on their mind is the things of this world and getting a little gain? Can't you imagine, Brother Joe, when they blindfolded him and took their fist and hit him in the face and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Can't you imagine that they thought, "Boy, we got the upper hand on this guy." They didn't know, Brother Larry, that they were in the hands of an Almighty God, and that it was being fulfilled just like He said it would happen. Can't you imagine when they planted a crown of thorns and said, "He says He's a king. The king needs a crown." Can't you imagine as they spit upon him and plucked his beard, as they scourged him and beat his back to a pulp? All of his bones are staring out at you. Can't you imagine that they thought, we'll put an end to this? Little did they know that wasn't anywhere close to the end. That was just the beginning. And God was going to build a church for his glory out of redemption by blood that was bought and paid for at Calvary's cross. I don't know about you, but it does my heart good. You know, Joseph didn't know it at the time, but I tell you what, in time God revealed it to him. He told his brethren, you meant it to me for evil. But you know what he said in this statement? Really, God just give me this. When he said God meant it for good, he said, you really wasn't the ones in control. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you something right now. We're passing laws in this country that don't look anything like this book. And men think they're in control. But there's a God in heaven that's in control of this thing. You can mark her down at a place called Golgotha. I see a place of fulfillment. A place of fulfillment. Let me get into this second thing here for just a moment. Hallelujah, this morning. What a Savior. What a God, a mighty God we serve. What a book we have in front of us. Oh, you say, preacher, I've read over in that Revelation and it scares me. It ought to. You say, preacher, where are you going to be when them 100-pound hailstones is falling? Where are you going to be when 1/3 of the blood water turns to blood? Where are you going to be when 1/3 of the earth is on fire? You say, preacher, surely you don't believe all that's going to happen. I'm telling you, just as surely as Golgotha happened, what he has said in that book will happen one day after a while. The Bible said men and women will run to the rocks and the mountains and they'll cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of Almighty God. Say, preacher, where are you going to be? I can wrap it up in a four-letter word. G-O-N-E. Gone. I'm going to be gone, hallelujah, to be with Jesus while that's being fulfilled. You say, preacher, you got a lot of confidence. Yes, I do. My confidence, Brother Anthony, just like yours. He's done everything that he said he would do. But come back and get me, and he'll do that too. He'll do it. I'll guarantee you the church of the living God is not appointed unto wrath. We may see some persecution. And to tell you the truth, it might be good for us. We ain't no better than the church in the book of Acts. Say amen. I tell you, I believe there's a whole lot that needs to be kind of burned out of the church. Say amen. I believe God will help us in these days to stand for Him. It was a work of fulfillment. Let me give you this. I'm just going to start on this morning. It was a work of the Father's love. It was a work, not only a fulfillment, but Golgotha was a work of Father's love. I will close this thing down here just a minute. You know what that spit was saying, Brother Mike? Said, I love you. You know what them bruises was saying? Saying, I love you. You know what them nails in his hands was saying? They're saying, I love you. You know what that blood running down that cross, I believe it could get quiet. I believe it did get quiet when God put the lights out. Say amen. I believe that drip, drip, drip was saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. The nails in his feet was saying, I love you. The crown on his head was saying, I love you. I'm telling you, God, my friend, that day at Golgotha was telling a lost and dying world, I love you. Say, preacher, how about scripture? How about this? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. You can't top that. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. I tell you right now, for God so loved the world. Why did the Bible, Brother Ted, say so loved? I got me an ID. Because there ain't no other love like it. Why didn't God just say God loved the world? He said He so loved. I tell you, there's no other love like it. If He ever puts it down in your heart, His love down in your heart, it'll change your life. Amen. There's no other love in this world like the Father's love that was exemplified at a place called Calvary. The Father's love for sinners was exemplified. Jesus said this. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth." Let me stop and tell a story. I was down at Liberty Baptist Church, and the youth director came to me one day, and my youth director said, "Brother Vinoy," said, I want us to have a big day, if you would be in agreement, just to break the record Sunday with our attendance. He said, "Would you be willing to do something special if we would work and break the attendance record?" And I said, "Well," I said, "I reckon. What you got in mind?" He said, "Well, I wondered if we could have the meeting outside and if you'd stand up on the fellowship hall and preach." And I said, "Well, I didn't have no sense and still ain't got none." I said, "I guess I could preach up there. I've preached in worse places." Amen. And so we went after the record. I think our record at that time was like 230. And then people brought 234 people in there, Brother Joe. And they had lawn chairs. And they sat all out in the front yard, in the front parking lot of the church. And I got up on the church, on the fellowship hall. It was just a 412 pitch. Now, it wasn't nothing steep, you know. But I got up there and I wore a wireless microphone. We had the loudspeaker set up outside, and I preached on this subject. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And Jesus said, "This spake He, signifying what death that He would die." And I didn't really think nothing about it. I didn't. Five individuals that day knelt in the grass in the front yard of that church. This is what they said. They said Jesus was dealing with their heart and they needed to be saved. And they made a profession of faith and they asked Jesus to be their Savior. They realized He died for them. It wasn't long after that. It's the way it goes. You hardly ever get the news directly. It usually comes indirectly. But the news come to me that I didn't have no business doing that. And so I began to examine it, and I got before the Lord, and I said, "You know what, Lord, that might be right. I probably didn't have no business doing that, getting up there like that and preaching." And I lived with that for a long time, a long time. I was going through the funeral home one day, visiting, down there at Carter Trent and Churchill. And I ran into a man. I'm just going to give you his first name. He's dead now. But his name was Bud. I ran into Bud and I said, "Bud," at the time I was with Rock of Ages and I was holding a revival in Churchill. I said, "Bud, you never did come and hear me preach when I was down there at Liberty." Bud lived about probably a quarter to three-eighths of a mile over behind the church. And I said, "Bud, you never did come and hear me preach when I was down there at the church." I said, "I'm in revival." I said, "Bud, would you come? I'd like for you to come and hear me preach. I've been in his home. I've witnessed to him. I beg God to save him." Yeah. Bud said something to me that it befuddled me. It confused me. He said, "Oh," he said, "I've heard you preach." And I said, "Now, Bud, you're going to have to help me." I said, "Because, Bud, I don't remember you ever coming when I was over there." He said, I sat on my porch and I heard every word you said. I tell you, the blessed Holy Ghost of God said, "It's all right. Don't worry about what men say. I can get my word out any way I want to. Amen. I tell you, if I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. You know what? As I stood up there and preached that morning, I told people to watch the cars. When they come down Carter's Valley Road, Sister Jennifer, they slow down. Down where I'm from, they call it gawking. Well, can I tell you something right now? I believe that day at Golgotha when Jesus was hanging there, a lot of people slowed down. A lot of people that was going through life. You say, preacher, what in the world should we do? I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to slow down and look at Calvary and slow down and trust the one that died for us on an old rugged tree. My friend, everything he did was a fulfillment of everything he said. He said it and he did it because he loves you and because he loves me. I don't know about you this morning. I'd hate to think that I'd leave this world unprepared because I mocked the one that died for me. Friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, I beg you in the name of Jesus, come on to that place called Golgotha. Trust the Lord today. If you're here today and you're cold, how many believes? How many can ever remember a time in your life when Calvary warmed you up? You got away and you got cold and you got indifferent. But I tell you, you made your way back to that place where Jesus saved you at Calvary, and it made a difference in your life. He said, I love you. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Don't need to. Because I have a Bible, I can say he loves you. Because I have a Bible, I can say he wants to forgive you. And if I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, will draw all men unto me. Let me just say this to you. Multitudes next Sunday will gather in churches all over our city, all over our county, all over this country. Multitudes. And Brother Grizzle never give one thought to Calvary. Never give one thought to the price that was paid, that we might have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for what you put in our hearts. Lord, it's a work of fulfillment. It's a work of the Father's love. Golgotha, the place of the skull, Calvary. When they were come to the place called Calvary, God, I'm glad you brought me to a place called Calvary. I pray this morning, Lord, you'd take this message, use it in our hearts. Help us, oh God. Help us. Brother Ralph's getting ready to sing. Some have already come. Maybe you need this altar this morning. Maybe you've drifted out yonder. Maybe you've been saved, but you know you're not where you need to be. Won't you come on to Calvary this morning? Others are coming. Won't you come? If you're here today and you're not saved, what would be wrong with just getting up and saying, Lord, I'm not going to mock you with my life. I want to trust you. I want you to be my Savior, my Redeemer. Everything you did tells me that you love me. There are others that need to come. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? God, speak into that heart. Would you come? Get that heart warmed once again at Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this. Father, bless the message. Bless these that are praying. Bless those that need to come. Help them to come in Jesus' name. While we sing, let's stand together.